Welcome to Finding Joy with Kara. This is your host, Kara Kavensky. This episode is sponsored by Adam Gibson Design, an architectural design firm specializing in luxury homes. Full home design, remodels, and additions. The Adam Gibson Design Team is known for an infusion of natural light, clean lines, warmth, efficient use of space, and most importantly, a healthy design. The Adam Gibson Design Team designs for living. Visit adamgibsondesign.com to learn more. Today, I have the pleasure of speaking with Tom Morris. Tom is the Senior Director of Athletic Performance at Indiana University. He's a strength coach. He's responsible for development and implementation of sport-specific strength conditioning, flexibility, speed, and agility programs for the 8-time national championship men's soccer program, among others. And he's basically a rock star in the athletic department. A few years ago, he experienced a moment of adversity, which sparked opportunity for him. His website, tommorrisperformance.com, encourages individuals to pursue, persist, and persevere. And Tom embodies every bit of that. I hope you enjoy our conversation. I'd like to explore your family background and how you came to this point of resilience in your life, because you just didn't wake up one morning and flip a switch and be this person that you are.
We got to talk a little bit right before the podcast. This is an area that I am really deep diving into my own personal growth and really analyzing what did help me get to the point where I was able to fight my biggest opponent or challenge in my life and come out winning.
Tom grew up in a small town in Northeast Pennsylvania. It was a coal mining community, and he and his brothers had to work for things. And his parents had a really good attitude about their engagement in sports, and they focused on work ethic. They were very busy and very active, and Tom recalls one specific story involving his father.
When I look back on, you know, where resilience came from, I always go back to this one pivotal story that happened when I was 9 years old. And I don't think I've told this to anybody. It was myself, and then I had four other friends, all from the same little town. And it's the Beaver Banks Little League All-Star Tryout. Like, this is the deal. This is it. And 9 and 10 year old all-star tryout. We go up that day and we're doing the basic stuff, the basic things of tryouts, you know, running the bases, hitting the balls, doing all those things. And so at the end of the tryout, they bring us into the dugout and the coaches said, hey, we're going to talk and then we're going to post who made the team. If you're on that list, you go back in the dugout. If you're not on that list, you didn't make the team. And so we're sitting in there, you know, anxious, on edge, like everybody's talking. My four close friends are around me and we're, you know, almost cheering each other on and just really, really wanting this. And the coach puts the tag up on the screen or on the fence and we all rush up to the fence and we start looking through it. And I remember combing through that thing as fast as I can. And I didn't see myself on there. And all of a sudden my one buddy says, I got it. And then he goes back in the dugout and another one says it. And I'm going back through again. And I'm like, I just didn't see it. They weren't in alphabetical order. I thought I was just missing my name. And at the end of that, I stood there and my name wasn't on the list, but all four friends were. And they all went back into that dugout. And I remember leaving and my dad met me out there and you walked to the car and he's like, well, you just got to practice more. The only thing you could do is practice more. And I got home and my mom had kind of a similar thing. I went into our backyard and from that point I started throwing the ball. My dad helped me out. And I remember going out and doing pop-ups and I doing all these different things to help me with the skill. And the next year I came back and I ended up, you know, making that team and I made all the all-star teams after that. But why I think that story is so important is because when I got cut, I didn't have anybody there saying, you know, those coaches, they don't know. They don't know who you are. This is unfair. The only thing that my dad ever taught me was control what you can control. And right now, you know, this happened, but what can you control out of it? And the only thing I could at that point was my effort and my practice and how I was going to get better. And that is a point in my life that I think started the idea of when you get knocked down, when adversity strikes, control the controllables, you know, deal with the loss, deal with the whatever happened, but get over it quick, because the quicker you can jump into controlling the things that you can, the quicker you're going to be able to keep going through. And I think that is such a pivotal story in my life of where kind of resilience came from. And through high school, I had another setback, where, you know, I was on the verge of not graduating from high school because of my grades. I totally blew it off. I had a lot of things going on that I didn't focus on school. I didn't focus on what I should have been. And reality hit when I went into my senior year and they told me I wouldn't be graduating on time. And that, it's such a humbling feeling. It's such a tough situation, especially when you're in high school. But the only thing I could do at that point was go to the things I could control again. And that was going to be my effort of how I'm going to get my butt out of high school. It wasn't dwelling on what I did and how I goofed up. And maybe it was somebody else's fault. Maybe I could have put excuses. My father passed away when I was 16 years old, going into my junior year, which totally derailed everything that was going on in my life. But at that point, when I went into my senior year, I got hit with that. And I remember just thinking, what can I do to make sure that I get through this and not sit there dwelling on it?
So Tom pulled himself together and he excelled at the junior college level and then transferred to Penn State, where he majored in kinesiology. He found kinesiology to be a way to stay around sports since he and his younger brother had been totally obsessed since they were kids. Tom had some amazing mentors during his years at Penn State, where he also earned a master's degree.
Ed Gerdes was a professor that I had for exercise physiology. And the truth is, I didn't even know what exercise physiology was before I got into the class, but it just sounded interesting. And so Ed ended up being a former strength coach at West Virginia. We built a relationship. Well, I stayed at Penn State, but I got to work with another great mentor of mine, John Thomas, who's the head strength coach there. And he showed me what the field was all about from a really high level of Penn State football. It was at that point that I learned a ton. I learned a ton from a lot of great people, a lot of great information of what not only this field is, but how to maybe thrive in life. You know, this is about helping people actualize and show their potential, being able to be that person to help them get through some really tough times. This is about 100% about the audience, the people you work with. It's just such a rewarding, incredible field. And it's extremely humbling to be able to be in the position to do that. And yeah, I just can't say enough good things about it.
After a brief stint at LaSalle, Tom Morris was hired on as a strength coach at Indiana University. I was introduced to Tom through my daughter, who was a dual sport athlete at IU on the women's soccer team and on the women's rowing team. Tom coaches the women's basketball team, and his main team is the men's soccer team. Before we get into a life-changing situation that had happened to Tom, I asked him about his wife, Krista, and how they met.
Believe it or not, I met my wife, Krista, when I was about 9 years old.
What?
Yeah, it's crazy. And we tell everybody this, but the story is epic. And it's just such a, I just love it. It is my favorite story in my life is my wife and I. You know, this is just such an incredible thing. But so I live in this small coal mining town called Jeansville, Pennsylvania. Krista lives in this small little coal mining town called Tresco. It is connected by this little quarter mile stretch of road. And so we grew up always going, Jeansville was a small town. Tresco was the big town, but that meant that Tresco had one store and one post office. We didn't even have one store and one post office. So we would go to Tresco all the time to hang out, play basketball. That's where we played Little League, et cetera, et cetera. That's where I met my future wife. You know, we didn't start dating at 9 years old, but we started playing basketball and we started competing against one another. And believe it or not, by 13 years old, though, we started dating, and it was kind of crazy, but like 13 years old, we're dating, you know, and then it went off and on until about 16. And then at 16 years old, we started dating and got serious. And from that point, you know, we graduated high school. We both went to college together and then, you know, both moved to Philadelphia to Indiana, and here we are. And this is going to be our 15th year anniversary coming up.
Tom is an athlete to the core, and he spent the latter part of his teen years as a 230-pound football player, and he transitioned to being a lean cyclist and was doing triathlons. About 6 years after Tom had been working at Indiana University, in May of 2012, something happened.
And so leading up to May of 2012, I was at the pinnacle of my fitness life, of my life as far as how I was living. I was at the pinnacle of everything in my life, professionally, you know, as far as personally at home with my wife, we were in such a good place. Professionally, the job at IU was incredibly rolling. And then this even recreation, which I think recreation is one of the most pivotal things in your life. If you could have a balance of that, it keeps everything in this perfect balance. And I was there.
So you go from this full able-bodied human running triathlons, cycling, swimming, to laying on a bike path alone, unable to feel your fingers to get your phone out of your back pocket.
Yeah. And it's that contrast that makes it, you know, so humbling, and you're so vulnerable. Like it just, you go from being on the pinnacle of what you deem as is life, you know, living it to the highest standards, living it without barriers, just living it, being able to do anything you want, to laying on your back, staring up at the sky with help right in the back pocket, but you're not able to even call anybody to get it. And you're laying there vulnerable to the woods, to whatever fate is going to bring. And that is a point in my life. I laid there for, you know, 3.5 hours from start to finish, laying there, not being able to call for help, not being able to do any of this stuff, but laying there having to think about everything in life, you know, everything that's important to me. Will I go home to see my wife? Will I see my family again? Will I have any of these things? How am I going to move? You know, on top of the fact of not even understanding what I was going through right there, but that idea of how quick things can change, how quick life can change, was something that smacked me in a split second on a training ride, working at a top level of my life, to having everything and having every piece of me completely zeroed out and in question. You know, I broke my C6, C7 vertebrae, which left me a quadriplegic. And from that point, it's, well, we don't know. You know, chances are he'll never walk again. Chances are he won't be able to move his hands. High chance says, this is what, you know, Krista, when she was told this, she was going to be my caregiver. Like she would be, things are going to change. You are going to help him eat, brush his teeth, all the daily things that you just take for granted. And that's, you know, it's so weird to say that's heavy. I mean, that's crazy heavy to think about. And it's weird because when I'm hearing it, I am only thinking about, I can't imagine Krista having to do that. Like, what's it going to be for her life if she has to do this and change everything about it? So there's a lot of things going on from my own physical limitations, but then also thinking about my wife, how she's going to be put into this situation. And like, there was just so many things going on. And what happened was I spent 3 months in the hospital, you know, three months of living there, 3 months of every single day, just getting up, going to rehab, going through all the different things, living in that hospital. And then it was the last 9 months that I would go to an outpatient rehab and live with a family that was down in Louisville, and then commute in and out of the hospital, but still doing the same thing. 7:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night, doing rehab all day long, doing the different things on the, there's a treadmill that we did this walking deal where they manually move your legs to different swimming, to different stimulation, to just try and make the body recover and work again.
And at the end of a year, you're moving around, you drive a car, you get around, you come back to your job. Yeah. IU welcomed you back just short of a parade. And, well, the community of Bloomington and Indiana University open-armed you like crazy. Yeah. And what was your reaction like to the athletes? You're coming back and you're teaching them things that you can't do anymore. You could. Mm-hmm. But, and there are things you can do that you're instructing too, but how is that transition for you and for the students?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's, first of all, nail it. I mean, IU, it's just incredible to be able to come back and have them welcome you into a position and not, you know, not question me on anything. They just were supportive. They didn't sit there and ask how I'm going to do it. They didn't ask any, they just asked, how can we help? And that from an employer, from a big business, from this entity of IU. I just can't say enough, you know, with the leadership of Fred Glass, but the entire staff from the Indiana Strength staff, you know, it's extremely humbling. And I'll say humble about a million times because I think it's just something that I've learned from this process. I think humility is just such a valuable trait and something that you really need to really maximize what life is. And when I came back here, that's it. They opened their arms. They opened their arms and said, well, however you're going to do this, just do it. But that left me in a position then is, how the hell am I going to do this? Like, it's kind of cool in theory. Like, you know, here I am going to be the guy teaching them how to run, teaching them how to move. But yeah, I mean, I'm working this out of a wheelchair. So it's like, well, how am I going to do this? And the truth is, I really didn't worry about that X's and O's. Some of the stuff that got in my head was just the reality of how they were going to view me. You know, it's like, it's a weird thing because as a person that's upright, as a 32-year-old man before it, I just didn't have any limitations. I mean, I literally was able to do and anything I wanted, I could. And now at this point, I'm going to be having to ask for help. I'm going to have all this stuff. There's obviously physical limitations. They're seeing me different. I just didn't want them to see me as that person in a wheelchair. I just wanted them to say, coach, you know, do this. And so going back, that's the biggest fear I had was, you know, kind of that judgment of what are they thinking, you know, and you know, this the same way is that was, you think that even before an accident, you know, and there's a lot of things that we're always worried about what the other people are thinking with the wheelchair, with the wheels at on my bottom side, that was even more popping through my head. But the truth is it only took one workout, 1 hour workout where they laid on the ground. I always joke after the first workout, you know, the women's basketball team laid there on the ground, covered in sweat. And I sat over top of them with a grin from ear to ear because we did this. I got the same result I wanted out of them, except I had to do it a little bit differently. Well, a lot differently, but the result was still the same. And so the ability to come back and go through this same process, this thing that I love. And again, I never felt like I worked a day in my life. The idea of being a coach isn't the fact of wearing IU. It isn't the fact of working in incredible facilities. It's the fact that I get to help people. I get to physically help people do things that they didn't think were possible. They want to quit on it. And with the push, with that drive, you're able to show them what they're capable of. And that is the thing that I wanted to come back to work so much for, because that was the thing that I was missing. But that was also the thing that I didn't know. I had confidence that I could do, but I didn't know for sure. And when I sat there laying, watching that same result, the result that I wanted happen, I mean, it brought a tear to my eye because that was the thing that brought this thing kind of all back then.
How has the engagement been with other strength coaches within IU's ecosystem? Because it's a big team. Right. Of y'all, right? Like we've got 24 teams, and I know that was it last year. Alabama kind of called a couple because of the football team because our football team's been doing so well. They're like, oh, this must be the secret.
Yep.
To performance, because apparently ending up number two isn't good enough for some schools. I thought it was interesting that they would pillage our strength coaches.
Yeah.
How has that impacted? Because, and I'm asking this because I feel like you're a part of a really phenomenal culture. You embody it already and came into the right school with that atmosphere and that authentic culture. I don't know what other word to use for it.
Yeah. So that's what a great, great question. And I'm going to steal the Adidas quote where it says impossible is nothing. And that's us. I spent a year of life in rehab and I met some incredible PTs and OTs and these ideas, like they're just incredible people. And as a strength coach, there's no limitations. I mean, anything impossible is nothing. And when I came back to work here, I came back to, you know, staff that I've known more so than a staff. I mean, we're just great friends, this great culture, but they're also under the assumption that we are going to do anything we can to get you right.
So how did the other strength coaches treat you when you came back to work?
A great story is I was only back for 2 days and some of the guys went, hey, what, can you crawl across the floor? Can you like do this, And I'm like, I don't know. I never really did that before. And so they lowered me on the ground and then took my wheelchair and then pushed. And we have a mammoth of a weight room. I mean, the weight room is a good 60 yards long.
Yeah, I've been in it. The new one at the football stadium. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So it's huge. And they took that chair and they moved it all the way across the weight room and said, go get it. And, you know, you might as well tell me to like crawl to like South Bend or the top of Indiana, because it was just that far. And honestly, at that point, I thought, well, how the hell am I going to do this? And then I just started. And like where my hands weren't as strong, like just grabbing the ground and pulling, grabbing and figuring this out. I mean, I made it all the way across this mammoth of a weight room. And then they picked me up and put me back in a chair. And then we did something else. And it just became this process that was like, let's just push the limits on this and see where it ends up. As a strength coach, there are no limitations. It's let's do this. Let's progress it. Let's push the boundaries of what we possibly can. And that's the culture that I'm part of right now. That's the culture. That's the feel. That is the thing. If I could speak loud and hear, have anybody hear, that's what the art of a strength coach is. That's the mentality. That's when our athletes come in. It's you can do anything. You just got to keep pushing and working hard and doing everything you possibly can. And let's see where it takes us. But it's that effort every single day. And it's that high effort that allows us to literally bring people to a point of where they feel like super people.
That's amazing. I have a similar quote about possibilities, and I will add it into the show notes because I don't want to miscredit it to someone. I have to double check it. But the gist is impossible just takes longer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. Oh, I love that.
Have you rung the bell yourself?
I have many times, many times.
Oh, good. Will you explain that real quick to people?
Yeah. So we have a bell in our weight room, and one of our former guys, it's a real bell from a farm. It's this big cast iron thing. And so every time someone PRs, they run over and they ring that bell. And it doesn't matter if you're a football player or a women's tennis, it doesn't matter where you're at in the team, the entire weight room erupts when that bell rings. And again, that's a way that we're all trying to thrive together, trying to use the energy of this building, use the energy of this walls to promote or propel people into areas that they just thought weren't possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I firmly believe that empowering people with the power of possibility is one of the most important things in life for them to really excel and succeed and to be the best version of themselves.
100%. I couldn't agree more. I mean, that's such the hard thing, but that's such the reality of like, if you just believe in it and understand that belief, you can get there, but then you also got to understand that the road to get there is going to be a lot of setbacks. I mean, in my life, it's been so cool. You know, spinal cord injury is hard, plain and simple, but it's been so cool to be able to go on a road where every single day becomes a big challenge. You know, before I'd had to put myself willingly into a lot of different challenges, which was totally fine. I love doing that. But every day that I wake up right now, I have an opportunity to fight a challenge, to conquer a challenge, to solve a puzzle. And you could look at that as exhausting and run down, or you could look at that as the opportunity to be the best version of yourself. And my mentality since this accident has been just that, is see this adversity as an opportunity, see these challenges as a way to just be the best life, be the best person, because I really do believe that this life, it's going to be over in the blink of an eye. I mean, heck, I've been injured now for 9 years, and it's gone by faster than the past 32 years of my life and arguably during the toughest times of my life. So I know that at some point, God willing, I'll make it to 80 some years old, but it's going to be over. And I think that if you're not living every day, challenging yourself, pushing yourself to be the best version of yourself, man, I just can't imagine the regret you'll have laying there. I mean, because it's why I do everything I do. You know, it's helping others. It's helping myself. It's trying to make each person around you just that much better. And I think that just gives me energy. It allows me in the toughest of times, the most challenging of times, to still get up and just keep coming. And I love that about my own personal perspective on life, because it's energizing for me.
Mm-hmm. There's this great, that reminds me of this really great quote. And then someone's created a like a sketch drawing meme of Hunter Thompson. And he talks about how when at the end of life, he doesn't want to be this beautifully preserved body. He wants to slide into home, beaten up, battered, bruised, tattered in pieces, and just say, wow, what a ride.
That's it. I mean, that sums up everything. I mean, that is 100%, you know. I'll tell you what, this old beat up body at 42 or 41 years old right now is, I don't know what it's going to look like in another 40 years, but I do know that the weathering of it, hopefully it will all be for good. Hopefully it's not only, you know, own personal growth, but hopefully that helps a lot of people all along the way. But that's it. I don't want to be jumping up and down at the end of this. I want this to be all or nothing. Throw it out, all out in the field, all those different things that people say. It's really what it's all about.
Well, and coaching the team, the soccer teams, leave it out on the pitch, leave it all out there.
Yep.
And I think swimmers, all athletes do that. I have a friend who is a Olympic swimmer, and she will still compete against much younger swimmers, and she'll leave it all on the pool to the point where she can't get herself out of the pool. She has to wait there for a few minutes and recover before she even has the strength to pull herself out. She still has that killer winning instinct.
Yeah. Well, and to that point, that's such a great story, because it's all about perspective of life too. Because when I was in the 20s and 30s, I remember meeting athletes like that going, man, like, get over it. You're done. Like, quit doing that to yourself and hurting. And then you end up going through and going, that's incredibly courageous for one thing, but that's maximizing life. That's putting it all out, doing everything you can for that. And I just think that's such an incredibly special gift to be able to do that, to actually be able to leave it all out there and crawl back to neutral, maybe, or recovery. It's cool. It's cool. And that's awesome to hear.
It has been such a pleasure speaking with you. We could talk all day. I've got many more questions, but I think we need to cap it respectfully due to time. And I'm so grateful for you. And what I'm hearing is that you've always been this person. And while the accident impacted you physically, it's made you better in a lot of ways.
You know, you got gratitude and humility. And I think the two of them are so powerful as far as, I mean, there were dark, dark moments that I laid there not knowing what to do, but I've been gifted. I've been practicing. I've been maybe blessed, however you want to say it, with the idea to see the good in things. You know, when you're laying there and you can't move, you lost everything. When you can look at your wife and go, man, I got literally the greatest person in the world sitting next to me. It doesn't matter that you can't move. It doesn't matter any of that stuff, because that is more powerful than what you lost. And I've been very fortunate to be able to just see gratitude in anything that I do. And I hope that that continues, because with that, there's nothing that can knock you down, because it's all up to you, your perspective, your ability to see the world in that positive, optimistic light.
Well, stay at IU as long as possible. I love what you are instilling in those student athletes and any of those around you. So I'm thrilled that you're a Hoosier. Thank you. Thank you for listening to Finding Joy with Kara. Tom Morris is one of the most motivating, inspiring people that I've ever met. The quote I mentioned earlier is by Dan Brown. He says, "Everything is possible. The impossible just takes longer." I hope you continue on your own journey to finding joy.